Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you would join us. We know that God has a word for you today. Before we get into our lesson for tonight, we have a couple of announcements, and I want Prophetess to go ahead and lead us in our prayer for tonight. So I'll move out the way and turn it right over to Prophetess Crystal.
God bless you, everyone, and good evening to all that have joined us here on Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. Today's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen. On Thursday nights at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We invite you to visit us there. Even pray about becoming a prayer and vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Also want to let you know that if you would like Apostle or myself to come and minister at your church, there's a contact tab that is on our website. We ask you to go there, fill in and be as detailed as possible, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. I also invite you to my personal website page through the Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. Go to WOPD, learn more about the ministry that God has given me that is being covered by Apostle and Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, helping women, amen, to learn about the prophetic giftings and learning about being more godly oriented, amen, and pushing the kingdom agenda, amen. Also want to let you know Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. We invite you to go there, leave a prayer request or a praise report as well. We want to know what God is doing in your life. Like us there as well. Now for the big news. October, we're 3 weeks away. Three weeks away. I'm excited.
Yeah.
We're excited. The people that are joining us are excited. October 18th and 19th, 2013, I'm personally inviting you for my women's conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny, amen, 2013. Don't abort your assignment. Christ the King Redemptive Ministry is covering it, and it's being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church at 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. We have powerful teaching, preaching, and praise and worship that's going forth. We're expecting God to move mightily on behalf of his people. We have intercessory prayer beginning at 6 p.m. on both nights. You do not want to miss this time, amen, in the kingdom. It's going to be magnificent. It's going to be glorious. And most of all, God is going to definitely get all of his glory. I command you and just dare you to come expecting. And wherever your faith is, God is going to meet that challenge. Or wherever your faith is, he's going to meet you at that place. Amen. That's October 18th and 19th, 2013. Amen. Being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. Amen. We are excited about it. And those are the announcements for today. Come on, let us go into prayer. I'm anxious to get into this word. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We come before you. We humble ourselves before you. God, we thank you for this day. God, we just thank you for blessing us and allowing us to go through this day, Father, with just giving your name praise, glory, and honor. Even as we come now, Father, we ask that you would forgive us and wash us for all sins. Cleanse us. Purify us. Make us whole in your blood in the name of Jesus. Even now, God, open up our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear what the Spirit has to say unto the church. God, lead us to the rock, which is Christ. God, help us to grow and mature in the things of you and birthing forth the kingdom agenda in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we give your name praise, glory, and honor. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that dynamic prayer. Tonight, we're going to get into this word just to reemphasize and to let you know my excitement. Amen. I've been talking to the different people who are coming to be a part of this Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. October 18th and 19th in Cocoa, Florida, and we're expecting something great. You know, it's one thing when you say, I'm expecting something great from God, and they say, fine, wonderful, thank you. You're expecting something great from God. We might come and see what you expected. But it's another thing when people say, we're expecting something great from God, and we can sense a stirring in the atmosphere, we're excited. Excited about what God is about to do. And that is what we're experiencing now. It's not just a word. It's not a cliche. It's not a marketing scheme or anything like that. This is really genuine expectation of a powerful move of God. And I'm telling you, if you never expected God to do something, then you never saw him do anything. But I'm talking to people who have expected God to do the miraculous, and God has done the miraculous. We're looking forward to him showing up and showing out again. Amen. And we want you to be there. It is if you are in Central Florida, definitely you want to be every place or any place that we're going to be. Amen. That's just good way to say it. You need to be in the house. We got people coming from Nebraska, from Texas, from other places just to be a part of this because they can sense in the atmosphere a stirring, if you will, a shifting, and their spiritual antennas are up and open. Amen. So you want to make sure that you are here. Want to be sad for everyone else to have receive the touch and the move from God, and you said, you know what, I thought about coming, had the ability to come, but didn't make the effort. And because you didn't make the effort, some things that you could have experienced, some things that could have been loose to you, you missed those things. You know, God is an awesome, grateful God, gracious, amen. But he sets up for us. Remember this, we are all under shepherds to the shepherd, Jesus Christ. That means when the shepherd prepares and leads you to green pastures, you don't sit back and wonder if maybe this is something that I should do. You need to go ahead and grab hold of what is being released in the spirit. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm watching prophetess and those who are, they're fasting, they're praying, they're expecting God to do some incredible things, and I am in agreement with him. Amen. We're looking for God to do the miraculous. You don't want to miss this. Amen. With that said, I want to get into the word tonight. We've been dealing with a number of different scriptures, and the Lord has me really dealing with the New Testament. We're dealing with some of the Christian principles, the foundation of those Christian principles. And I believe that what's happening now is that we've been preaching so many feel-good messages about how to stay here on the earth and enjoy ourselves, that we haven't prepared ourselves for thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That means that there's some things that are going to shake your foundation. Today, even, at midnight, last night, the government went into a shutdown. Mm-hmm. Those people are standing around trying to have, their purpose of why they saw it coming and why it has to happen. But after all is said and done, all you really did was show the people that you are so set on your agenda that you're not ready to serve. This has nothing to do with, what is right. It has everything to do with politics. Mm-hmm. And when you start dealing with politics, political maneuvering, and people trying to throw rocks and hide their hands, the reality is that there's families that are not getting paid. Resources are still being used because those people have to show up to work. In order to keep the country functioning, they have to show up. But they are not being paid, which means that their bills, which will be due, puts them behind. Now, instead of, solving a problem, you're creating a bigger problem. For what? A political statement? Really? Is that what you think this is all about? After all is said and done, are your lights off? Did you go hungry? Are your bills taken care of? We got to put our foot down somewhere. Well, we should have put it down, when all these other things were going on before we got to the current administration, to try to dump it here as if it started here and originated here is ludicrous. President Clinton, we saw the country go into surplus. And then we get into the Bush years, and we go into a deficit. So we're post-Bush. We're dealing with President Obama, and he's trying to do what he feels is right to move the country forward. And I think it's a noble effort, especially when you look at health care. If you haven't had to deal with those type of issues, then you think that it's a political thing and it's costing too much. But how much does it really cost when a family hits a hardship and it throws them into financial difficulty? We know right now a family that has a son that was, he had a heart attack at 13 years old. Devastated the family. Daughter had cancer. What is it? Cervical? Mm-hmm. Or ovarian? Mm-hmm. One of those. It was down in her female parts. I know that. They had cancer. So the daughter's 18 now, and they've dealt with different bouts of that cancer and going into remission and then coming back and all the treatments and all the tests and everything else, hospital stays and all of that. That family is devastated. What would happen if they had national health care? Do you think the family would be devastated at this point? Mm-hmm. See, people are walking around talking about what's right and what's wrong. Isn't it right to take care of people? Isn't that why we're in ministry? Not so we can talk about, if they wasn't living a sinful life, Jesus healed them and dealt with them. He knew all their sins, all their faults, all their shortcomings. The Bible said he looked at them and had compassion on them. And the Bible says he healed them all. Are you better than Jesus? Unfortunately, in asking that question, too often the answer that people say is yes. Well, if Jesus would have had to deal with the cost of this, he would have looked at the disciples like he did before and said, when they said, "Hey, Master, send them away because they're going to be hungry and we ain't got but, you know, just a few denarii. What do we have?" And he said, "What do you have?" And then he said, "You feed them." See, all this self-righteousness right now that we're dealing with has nothing to do with Christianity and the character of Christ. It's men standing in position trying to be self-righteous and to beat their own chest and say, you know, we're trying to do the best. No. Unfortunately, some of them happen to have come out of churches.
Yep.
So you have religious politicians who still don't know the ways of Christ.
Religion has not saved anyone.
Yes, religion doesn't save. It teaches you how to show up and do a job at a certain place every week or every bi-weekly or whatever it is. But it doesn't teach you how to really demonstrate the kingdom of God. So, you know, when we start talking about the character of Christ, which we have been talking about, there are certain things that we have to really look at. Here in 1 Corinthians 2, in the first verse, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of the wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." In other words, I didn't come trying to sound intelligent by telling you about Jesus. Look what he says in the second verse. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So when we begin to stand up in pulpits and spew out political rhetoric as a way to lead our congregations, you're really just becoming someone who's standing with excellence of speech and wisdom of men, declaring it instead of God. You're declaring the wisdom of men. Well, it feels to us that we should go this way. Well, you know what? We believe in the choice of life, you know, instead of the sanctity of life, and we don't believe in abortion. Okay, the sanctity of life, we don't believe in abortion. I can go there with you. I understand and I agree to an extent. And that is when it becomes a medical choice that has to be made, the mother or the child will be lost, and the other will have to deal with catastrophic ailments or injury or, you know, pertaining to death. Then there has to be a decision made. Do we save the mother or do we save the child? Well, in that case, you have to make a determination. And if it is take the child to save the mother, then we just have to take the child. Now, did you deal with an abortion or did you deal with a medical decision to save a life? Now, with that right there, you have to be realistic that if you make that decision and you're a purist, then you say, well, we just took a life. But reality is sometimes you have to do things in order to save a life. You understand? So you can't be hard-nosed and hard-wired to regardless because there are situations, amen, that determine whether or not you stick to this or not. Jesus was not hard-nosed. I don't care what you say. There's no way in the world, if he was, that he could have talked to a woman at the well who was a Samaritan, who was an adulterer. See, we qualify ourselves based on our self-righteous perspective, but God doesn't do that. And if we're going to be those who demonstrate the kingdom of God, we got to stop being wise in our own eyes, seek God's face, seek his agenda, and then go after him. Amen. There are certain things I don't agree with the Democrats. Amen. But yet and still, I understand that there are times when what they're doing, you know, needs to be done for the greater good. So I put aside my self-righteous and put that down and pick up the common sense one that God gave us. Amen. And we do what needs to be done. There's times when the Democrats are doing something crazy and I have to stand back and go, oh, no. You know, So it isn't all or nothing. You know, you have to look at and deal with what is best for the country. What can I deal with at this time? Someone said it, and I agree with it. Amen. And I'll say this, you'll never hear me really talk about politics, because that has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God politics is his children need to be praying for those who are in authority. If I simply, as a matter of fact, thank you, Holy Spirit, why don't I do that too? If we go into the scripture and look at what was said by Jesus or by Paul, Paul is giving instruction, and he lets us know something. Romans 13:1, New King James Version, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Those of you who think that President Obama went in and he's the devil, guess what? God was in control, he's going to be in control, and you can't do nothing about his control. Amen? So our job is not to try to hate and block and do everything else. But the Bible says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And authorities, here you go, that exist are appointed by God. Who put President Obama in the White House? Well, I think the scripture just very clearly said it right there. They are appointed by God. Therefore, second verse, listen closely. Whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So here you are. You're sitting back and you're saying, well, I don't believe. You know, I think he's a Muslim. I think he's this, that, and other. No, he's already declared himself a Christian. If he was a Muslim, he could not have done that and stayed a Muslim, because his declaration was the thing that excluded him from Islam. That happened at his when he first started. Amen. And those others who are in authority, we need to stop throwing rocks, trying to hide our hands and stand behind a cross that doesn't stand behind you. Amen. We get this together. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For the rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. You want to be afraid of the authority? Do you want to be unafraid, of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Listen to this. For he is the minister, he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword alone, bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Amen? So, I'm going to leave that right there. Amen? But when you go to the polls and you think about voting and everything else, and you vote and party, and you're talking about who did what and why and how they do it. Okay, listen. It's already been proven that we're dealing with a whole lot of fear mongering and everything else. And all of these things, the shutdowns and the rest of those, do not demonstrate the kingdom of God. It demonstrates the politics of man. And if I can make it look like the sky is falling, then I can get your votes and we can take it back and run with it where we're trying to go. You know,
to the ground.
And we've already seen where you tried to go. We, like I said, 8 years of Bush was terrible. Amen. And, you know, truth be told, we already have come back so far to try to recover. And all of this is just trying to make it seem like we haven't come far enough, you know. But God is in control. Amen.
And that's what's so interesting. And that's what's so interesting, because we really don't realize, people of God, how God has already worked this whole thing out. Whether you realize it or not.
Yes.
He's soon to come.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you realize it or not, things are taking place for the Antichrist to make his move and set things up for his kingdom. So we can't get caught up. And I do mean that. We can't get caught up in who's doing this and who's doing that. You got to be able to see through the smoke screen.
Mm-hmm.
More now than ever. And the enemy loves to operate in chaos. He loves to operate in distraction and fear. The Bible says it like this: the enemy cometh but to
steal, kill, and destroy.
And that's his whole goal. And if we as Christians don't get our heads out of the sand and start speaking what thus saith the Lord, then it's going to be a sad state.
The problem, prophetess, that I'm seeing is that we have, as I said before, we have motivational speakers manning pulpits. We have life coaches standing behind sacred desks. We have politicians, that stand in sway of whole congregations and denominations. So, after all is said and done, it's really not set up for the kingdom of God. It's set up for whoever can get in power. And we are finding out that these different entities are giving offerings and, tax breaks and everything else to these different churches and religious groups for their support. Not because they're kingdom-minded, but because getting into office affords them so many different other things. So the goal is to get in, do my dirt, get out.
Mm-hmm.
Set some aside in case I get caught up. Somebody says something, and they tell me I gotta pay so much. We'll pay ourselves off and do a couple of good deeds, mm-hmm. community service, shake a few hands, kiss a few babies, feed some homeless, and go over to Darfur or some other places and try to do some humanitarian aid, but come back. Not really that I was caring about that. It was just good PR, and the kingdom of God is about seeing the need and actually having compassion on those who cannot help themselves, amen, and even those who can help themselves but will not, still preaching the gospel to them, amen. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, he says here in the second verse, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And I think once we get back to preaching a gospel that includes or is all-inclusive of Jesus, then we'll stop seeing some of these other things that have the ability to come in sway our thoughts and our congregations, yes, and shift our atmospheres from godly to carnal and materialistic. Notice Jesus wasn't about materialistic things. One of the most famous things that he said when the young man came to him, he said, "I want to follow you." He said, "Well, listen, foxes have holes. Yeah. Birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." A person got upset and discouraged and walked away and said, "Listen, you're coming after this for the wrong reason." Mm-hmm. Today people are looking at ministries and things like that. Mm-hmm. It seemed like when they get up there, they taking these offering of people was coming up and giving them $100 and $200, $700. They gave them $1,000 and they were doing, and you're getting into it because you're looking at that. But you don't understand that we're fasting, we're praying, we're in this word, we're listening to what the Spirit is saying, we're interceding. Amen. And when you deal with intercession, that means you stand in the gap. Amen. Someone should have been struck. Someone should have been dealt with. And yet and still, you stood in the gap so that God could deal with that person and give them the opportunity to get it right. You preach a gospel. You cover them. It's interesting as a pastor, amen, to cover people who don't want to be covered. And what I mean by that is they come to church, they're bringing their tithes, their offering, but then they walk out the door and make decisions. Amen. That means that you got to pray longer. You got to pray harder. You got to show up at the jail and get them out. You got to show up at the hospital and other things, because what you would tell them to do, they don't want to hear. I'm grown. Let me live my life. But then when they get in trouble, well, you the pastor, you should be over here praying for me. Middle of the night, the lights get cut off. Somebody's beating on the door. Someone needs to get away because they got into a relationship that was abusive. And we counseled, "Listen, God has better for you. Leave that man, leave that woman alone." They were like, "But I'm in love." So here they are, middle of the night, and things are the it's hitting the fan. Who do they call? They call the pastor. What's the pastor do? We go over there and we try to take care of business and preach a gospel of peace and get them out of that situation. And they come out crying, talking about, I thought it would be different this time. Listen, it is difficult to pastor people who don't want to be pastored. Yet and still, we pastor. We demonstrate the love of Christ. Wouldn't it be interesting if they went into that situation and instead of going over like Christ came after us again, instead of going over to help them, we sat back and said, we told you not to go out there. That's what you get. What type of gospel, what type of kingdom would we be demonstrating? What type of testimony would we actually have? I think we really need to look at that. There's a lot of self-righteous people sitting around churches. But Christ wasn't self-righteous. When he knew as soon as that rich young ruler came to him, he knew what was going to happen. Yet and still, he offered him the opportunity. Who is walking around right now, living in sin because you don't feel that they're worthy of hearing the gospel? Yet still you show up at church ready to, you know, preach the house down. You know, they came in looking like they wanted Jesus. I'm ready to preach the gospel to them. Well, those aren't the people who really need to hear that gospel. It's the gospel needs to be preached to them who are lost. Amen? That's why he told them, he said, don't be sitting around here looking at each other. The angel said it after Jesus had ascended up in Acts, the first chapter. He said, why stand ye here? Hmm. You understand? Hmm. Huh? Mark, the 16th chapter, 15th verse, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, so your assignment is there. The question is, why are you still standing here? And the other question is, why have you changed your assignment? Why are you not preaching the gospel? Why has your gospel become excellence of speech and wisdom of men instead of declaring the testimony of God? Jesus Christ crucified, you understand? Resurrected, mediating for us. He is our high priest, huh? Why are we telling them that they're joint heirs through Christ? We're not telling them. Because we want people to show up at our churches who are driving big cars, giving big offerings, dressing nice, you know, got positive thing going on. The more status you have worldly, the closer you get to the front when you come in the door of the church. Hmm. See, brothers and sisters, what I'm preaching and what I'm telling you right now is not popular gospel. Because it says that there's something wrong with the way we're running churches today. How do we get this together? We get back to the assignment. Let me read on down here. And our brother, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. I didn't come boasting and trying to show you how great I am. I came telling you, hey, I'm nobody except through Jesus. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words. Here's the meat of the matter. Huh? Of human wisdom. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. And that's the problem we have. People can get up and quote great theologians and tell you what happened back in the Bible days with this one and, you know, the great evangelists. You know, we talk about Spurgeon and our Calvins and, you know, we go through all of them. But after all is said and done, those were people who were giving us their thoughts on God. When we get into the word pretty much gives us what we need to know. And then when we begin to deal with the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So without getting to the Holy Spirit, we begin to depend on commentaries, which may have been written at the time of their understanding, but now down the road we have different information or greater information, and now we need to adjust our theologies based on what we know now. Amen. But we still hold on to old theologies. Back when I was coming up, we didn't know about a Jewish responsa. Didn't know about it. They had no ideas that a responsa, what a responsa was. It is the form of writing that Paul does here in 1 Corinthians when we start about the 7th chapter, where he says, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. Or, you know, what he's saying is, now here's the questions you wrote me, and here's my responses. He goes into what is called a responsa. Now, isn't it interesting that we set a theology for some denominations on the question and not the answer?
What did the gospel start with you?
See, we didn't know that back then, so we did all we could do in the name of the Lord to serve him. But now we know better, and instead of, you know, adjusting to what we know now, what we do is we write minister manuals that tell us that if everything else fails, you know, there's a discrepancy in the scripture, rather than go with what the word says, we need to go with what our determination is. We're back to councils and dealing with, those type of things where we put tradition equal to, if not greater at sometimes, than the word of God. And we wonder why we can't move forward in kingdom things. It's because we stopped dealing with kingdom a long time ago. We got to get back to dealing with kingdom. And my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Well, it looks like that he's saying this here. What did the Spirit say? The Spirit said, well, Lord, this is difficult. And if we say that, then we'll have to back up here. You know, if we say this here, we'll have to do that. Now, women in ministry, amen? You know, we've kept a lot of women out of ministry based on theology that was faulty, And then we have to also deal with the fact that when we deal with that, it does not validate other things. In other words, when we deal with women in theology, it does not advocate for homosexuality and lesbian and the rest of that. Amen? See, we think that by saying women can be in leadership, that it's opening up the floodgates. No, we're addressing what the scripture says. Amen? Sin is still sin. And last time I checked, being a female wasn't a sin. Difficult. Yes. Needful. Yes. When we get this together, we'll stop preaching and having the speech of human wisdom. And we'll do the next part of this. Amen. The B clause of this, verse 4. Amen. It says, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Mm-hmm. See, we got away from the power.
Yeah.
That's why we have armor bearers who are armed today. Because back in the day, if they came in a church to rob the church, as soon as they walked through the door, the Holy Spirit, the angels of the Lord, arrested that thieving, that stealing spirit. Those people came in with one intent, and the power of God slayed them out. And when they got up and got saved. And, you know, we had women who were abused and walked in the door and they were praying. And as soon as they walked in, we have testimony where their husbands picked up their ashtray to throw it. Arm got stuck back. Tried to strike them. Arm stuck in the air. Couldn't get out the seat. You know, something hold me. Please tell them, let me go. See, that's when the power, demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We didn't need armed people around us. MMA training for those who are supposed to be spiritually fighting so that they can learn how to fight, you know, naturally. Mm-hmm. We have to do that when we stop preaching this gospel and we still have to defend what was going on in church. Then we don't depend on now spiritual weapons because we haven't developed those. We train and we depend on physical weapons because we can go get training and buy the best of those. So now we have SEAL teams guarding the apostles, guarding the pastor, guarding the bishop. See, you got everybody around you as a human shield just in case they come at you. You want to make sure that they don't touch you because you don't want your anointing to be usurped off you. Wait a minute, hold on. If the devil come after you and he can touch you and take your anointing, then you probably got his anointing. Can go a couple of places there. See, the devil don't want nothing to do with Jesus. That's a whooping he already had. He ain't trying to get that whooping no more. He trying to do his best to sway us away from him. That's why when you start trying to have a conversation with the devil, you end up losing. Because before he starts the conversation, he already knows where and how he's going to trip you up. So here you are thinking that you're wise enough to have a dialogue with Satan. You end up at the end of a deal and trying to figure out how to get your soul back. See, Lord Jesus. We go back to Esau and Lot. Some of y'all are giving up your birthright for a cup of stew. It wasn't even good stew. It only had lentils in it. See, well, once you walk away from preaching the gospel and you start dealing with human wisdom, then you only have human authority. And your mind is only with the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting of men who lie in wait. Amen? Mm-hmm.
That's why you got to pray.
That's it.
Ain't no prayer in your life, no prayer, no power.
Say that loud there.
Oh, no prayer, no power.
That's it. You can't pray, you can't talk to God, you can't hear him say, that's not the way to go. I remember... we were dealing with different ministries, and the Holy Spirit said, okay, go over here and deal with this. So we go over and we deal with it. And a little while later down the road, the Holy Spirit said, okay, that's enough. I need you to leave. We said, okay. And while we're looking at it, he said, I wanted you to see this. I wanted you to see that. I want you to see the other. You know, so we would go in and we would see different things. And I'd be like, Lord, what is going on here? And he said, I need you to see this so that you will not fool and trick the people of God with this trickery. I would show my wife and she'd look at him and be like, woo. You hear me if you followed this broadcast or broadcast at all. You've heard me talk about prosperity theology, you know, because prosperity theology talks about abundance, wealth, and health. But after you get done dealing with the foundations of it, you find out it's not Christian. Mm-hmm. They use Christian scriptures to try to prove Hindu and Buddhist theologies. See, if all of that was true, then every apostle would have been wealthy. See, they wouldn't have to go through any hardships. Jesus Christ died that I might live a good life. Okay, then you talk to every one of those apostles, every one of them who died. See, John wasn't on the Isle of Patmos because he bought the island, and that was his getaway.
Right.
See, Paul wasn't in Rome because he wanted an Italy vacation. Mm-hmm. All this foolishness of human wisdom. With people standing in the pulpit and people not wanting to hear that the wages of sin, your personal actions that are declared against God, against his law, against his will. They don't want to hear that. So they listen to that. And as soon as it says, well, you can live a good life, and God wants you to live the best life now, go on and live that life. And, you know, you ain't heard about sin. You haven't heard about hell. You haven't heard about a loving God who sent forth his son. And if you don't accept the son, then you have set yourself up for the judging God who has already prepared a way for you to escape judgment. You don't hear about judgment. You don't hear about sin. You don't hear about any of those things because they don't want to talk about those things. When they talk about those things, they can't build multi-million dollar homes and churches and run those big conglomerates that they call ministry.
Yep.
See, it costs money to build all that. And greater than that, it costs a lot of money to maintain all of that. So the message switches to keep people giving, not to change lives. And because we want to have that look of being the big thing, we run to that. But you got to get off of that and get back to God. My God, my God. Some things he wants to do for us, but he can't do it until we get back to his message. The words here that he says, but in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. Fifth verse, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So now we're not looking at the wisdom of men. I don't care how wise you can quote Nietzsche and everybody else. It don't make no difference. After all is said and done, you can line up your philosophers and give all those wonderful words that they said. Line up your greatest theologians and based on their discipline or based on their doctrine or dogma, they wrote out their commentaries and set up their dictionary. So if they believed a certain thing, then their theology was reflected in the commentary, which means that if their theology was off, the commentary that you now base a lot of your things on, it's off too. See, you got to know him for yourself. You can't know him like the next person or know him for the next person. You have to know him for yourself. Amen? Huh? Amen. But in the demonstration of the spirit and of the power, Romans 15 and 19. Read that for me, dear.
15 and 19?
Yes.
Amen. In mighty signs.
Uh-huh.
And wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Ilkrium, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. For the kingdom of God is...
That's it. For, it says, let's go back. Let's go back a chapter, or let's go back a verse. Let me do that right there. Amen. I love this Bible. I love this word. Amen. Amen. Romans 15. And let's see. Let's go back to let's go back to 17 first. Yeah, because we can actually go back to about the 14th verse.
All right.
But, let me just read that all the way down. Amen. It says, now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Amen. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points, as reminding you because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Notice here, he's not talking about anything that he's trying to do to push himself. He don't have an agenda. He's not trying to build, you know, the new tabernacle that's going to replace the old tabernacle all that stuff. You know, why I'm saying this, remember, when Jesus was transfigured on a mount, and Peter, James, and John, wanted to, build three monuments. And they were reprimanded at that point. And here we are still trying to build monuments
True.
To great movements. We better learn this and learn it quick. Amen? Amen. So we got to get it together because we should be ministering Christ. Huh? That I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. That the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, 17 verse, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which pertain to God. Notice it's not about your physical stuff and what you're trying to do. It's about the things that pertain to God. I said it before. Ephesians, the first chapter, about the sixth verse, that you should be to the praise of His Lord. That's our job. We're supposed to bring glory to the Father. And if your life and everything you're doing is not bringing glory to the Father, then you need to stop doing it. Reassess your commitment and your stance and get back in there and do what He said. Amen. Let foolish alone, crazy alone, get back to the assignment. Amen. So, 18 verse, for I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, in word and deed, to make the Gentiles obedient. In mighty signs, here we go, and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, okay, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Huh? And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Mm-hmm. You see that? So while we're getting out here talking about I only want to go from church to church, I was just sharing with somebody that we need to do some tent revivals. We need to get back out and do some street revivals, some other things. The church was set up, church house, local church was so that as the evangelists went out and ministered, that they had some place to point the new converts to where they could come and be shepherd and train. That's what evangelism is supposed to do. Evangelists are not supposed to be out setting up their own church. Evangelists are supposed to be sending the new converts back to the established church. That means that if you are out doing a job, you need to be able to tell those who are getting saved where to go. You'll hear me pray at the end of our broadcast, the sinner's prayer, and you'll hear me say, Lord, if they pray this prayer, please send them to church where they can be fully developed and mature, a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church. Amen. Every evangelist needs to be connected to a ministry.
Yeah.
If you out there because ain't nobody doing it right, so you just felt like you need to get out there and do something because you're the only one right, you just by that statement became another one who's wrong. Amen. Yeah. See, the church isn't perfect.
No.
You see that?
No.
But we are being perfected through the Spirit and the grace that He's placed upon us. When you're in disobedience, you're walking in mercy. Amen? But one of the characteristics of God is long-suffering and long has an end. Amen? So we got to be careful that we're not out here showing people ourselves. Amen? What He says here in the 19th verse, He says, in mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
You see that? So we're supposed to be doing mighty signs and wonders. You see that? You can't do that until you are obedient in word and deed to make the Gentiles obedient. You see that? For I would not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me. In other words, He did the work through me. Huh? In word and deed. He gave me the message. He demonstrated His validity of that message. How? In mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God. So what are you doing? Huh? 1 Corinthians, when we look here in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4, and my speech was, and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He goes on and says in the fourth chapter of this same 1 Corinthians 4, amen, he said, let's go down to the 19th verse. It says, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. You see this? For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. See, the difference between those who claim to be part of the kingdom of God and those who are kingdom assigned, kingdom citizen, those generals in the Lord's army, amen. The difference between us and those who went and those who are trying to build, you know, up themselves is that we understand that the kingdom of God is not just in word, but in power. Power comes through the Holy Spirit. Without him, what do you have? See, you can go to school and get your degrees and everything. They can teach you how to put your points together and how to, you know, speak and do all the rest of that and get your timing down, you know, based on where you came up in church. You may have seen it all your life, knowing when to pause and how to put just enough tune on the end of your words. So that, see, all of that stuff you can see and learn. But the power of God has to be demonstrated by the Spirit of God. And if you're not connected, you gave good word, but you did not give his word. You have some good points, but you did not point to him. Because when you do him, you see that it comes not just in word, but in power. We got to get back to the power. We got too many imposters out here fabricating miracles, lying, trying to act like they've been sent and that there was a move of God. Where was the move of God? When did we feel the wind of the Spirit? We didn't feel anything. Y'all went through a lot of showboating, but we didn't see nothing that said him. We got to get back to him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, prophetess. Lead us in our closing prayer and give us our closing.
Amen. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, we glorify you, we praise you. Father, right now, I'm asking in your son's name, help us to realize that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Father, let that word, your word, resonate in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our souls. God, help us to realize that the word, your word, must be demonstrated and manifested by signs, wonders, and miracles. God, it's time for us to get back to seeing your power being demonstrated in the lives of your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we thank you right now that you're helping us. You're taking us further. You're taking us deeper in your ways and your will, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, those that are not saved, I ask that you repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me whole in you. Cover me in your blood. I will serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, man of God, woman of God, child of the King, welcome into the body of Christ. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries pray that the Lord will lead you to a Bible-believing, a Bible teaching and training church, amen, whether it's male or female, that's going to teach you to become equipped, to become mature and whole in the body of Christ. Amen and amen. Listen, before we leave here, do not forget October 18th and 19th, 2013, my conference, Women of Prophetic Destiny, being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. I want to see you there. This is Prophetess McQueen.
This is Apostle McQueen. just want to remind you that it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen.